This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome everyone to Roleplay Retcons Rehash for Arrested Development. Woo! So, if you are woo, thank you, Alex. I appreciate the woo.
Woo! I did too.
Woo! Thank you, Ben. So, our rehash. If you're new to Roleplay Retcon, our rehash is what we do after we are finished with a series, in which we get together and we talk about the series, and we talk about the movie, or in this case, I guess the TV show, and we talk about some things we liked, some things we could maybe like improve on, or maybe things that we did improve on from the original, and we also talk about the original source material. So that's what we're going to be doing today for Arrested Development. So thank you so much for joining us. This was a really fun one to do, huh?
I had a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was not as much work as sometimes it is. So I had a lot of fun.
This one was really fun because it was the first time that we had more than one guest. So let's go ahead and thank those guests again. Thank you so much to our wonderful guests for taking the time out to do this with us. So again, our guests were Anna Askew, Caleb Montgomery, Charles Edward Cheese,
that's just a prank.
Charlie Welsh.
That's Chuck E. Cheese's name. That's not his name. Well,
that's what I think his name is. That's his name on Facebook.
Yeah, it's my cousin Charlie. Thank you, Charlie.
Yes, thank you, Charlie. Fran Sweeney, Kim Cole, and Jeanette Blasius. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My wife. But yeah, big thank you to all these folks that joined us. It was a monumental task that we, I think, accomplished.
Yeah, I think so, too.
We definitely did some podcasting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Podcasting happened.
Mm-hmm. People talked into microphones.
Now, did we actually, okay, we made, notwithstanding, a fun thing here, right? And everyone that came here.
Yes.
I don't know if we actually, like, made a functional season of television here.
It may have been an episode, maybe even a long episode.
We kind of
season,
made a movie,
probably
right?
Probably not. Yeah. Probably movie
length. Oh, yeah. Like after a TV series is over and they make like a movie special for it, like they did with Firefly and Downton Abbey.
I think that was the original plan for this, was that they were going to do a movie and then they kept making seasons of television instead.
Well, that's because Netflix bought them, and, you know, that's what they do.
I do think, though, that we, like, I think some of the people here, like, came up with some, like, really good, like, jumping off points, though. Like you could take this and go back and write a pretty good season of television from this, I think. I really thought, man, maybe I'm biased because it's my brother. And I just love Caleb and think he's the funniest guy on the planet. But the thing about Joe being convinced that Now You See Me is like a secret message for him is like very good, I thought. Mm-hmm. And I'm also really impressed that like Kim was given the like most challenging character, because like how do you make a character whose defining trait is she doesn't do anything, do things, right? And so I feel like she found some, like, really great workarounds for that.
Mm-hmm. I think everyone did a great job. I think it was really fun to see everyone's interpretations of the characters.
Especially those who haven't had as much experience with the show as some of the others.
Yeah, when I started like trying to find people to do this, I was like exclusively like asking. I was like, "Hey, have you seen Arrested Development?" They're like, "No, but it's on my list." And like, it was kind of disheartening how many people hadn't watched this very good show. And so I ended up kind of thinking it was fun that we had people that like weren't intimately familiar with their character, and so didn't feel like they were like locked into something that they had to do.
Yes. As someone who had never really seen the show before, I am one of the people who you are talking about.
Alex, do you have any thoughts as to why, like, you feel like personally that, like, season four specifically? Are there we could talk about season four, but like, why do you think the Netflix stuff like didn't work for you?
It didn't work for me because they took such a departure from everyone's characters. They radically changed Michael and Job's characters, two of my favorite characters. They completely changed their personalities in a way I didn't feel flowed well with the series and what I loved about it. I understand why they did it. It's just it didn't mesh with me personally. And the format they came out with it where... Jency, you probably don't know this, but when they came out with the fourth season of Arrested Development on Netflix, they came out with it. Each episode came out focused on one character, but all the episodes were happening in real time. So you get little snippets of the story overall from one character's point of view each episode. And I personally don't think it worked well.
And then...
They came out... Yeah, they came out later... After all the complaints and put, they re-spliced it so everything was happening concurrently, instead of being just from a character's point of view, and it was a little better, but
I think it was even worse.
Nah, I think it was a little better, but I don't know. It still didn't do it for me.
I also season four. Like really weirdly doubles down on the jokes that it like needed to leave behind in like to the early aughts. But even then, before it had this like Blazing Saddles, Always Sunny in Philadelphia thing, where all the awful stuff was being said by nasty people, and the joke was that the people who act like that and say things like that are jokes. But like in season four, the show like itself becomes like really scummy, it becomes what it was parroting. It became an out-of-touch rich asshole, you know?
I think if you could just leave it at three and it ended nicely, even if it was short-lived,
yeah.
I think...
It was a little choppy, but it was fine. It wasn't, like, super unsatisfying. Or just make a movie. A movie might have been
or
fun.
Or make a movie.
That's what we did. I wish we'd warned people, though. This is the first time that I think it's important that people had been familiar with the source material. I think every other series we've done, you don't really have to have watched the movie. But this is the first time that I feel like people are going to be lost if they hadn't watched Arrested Development.
Yeah, like any of it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the jokes are really strange.
And like we did Indiana Jones... And it was technically a sequel, but you don't really have to have been, like, intimate. Like, everyone knows Indiana Jones's deal, right? And everyone knows Batman's deal, what's going on with Batman. but, yeah, this was, like, deep cut references to this TV show.
I don't know. I felt like coming from someone who, I mean, I did my research, obviously. I watched some clips and read the Wikipedia articles. But, like, watching all of the seasons was very daunting for me in the short amount of time that I had prepared. But I felt like I prepared a little bit. But even as someone who hadn't seen all of the seasons, I didn't feel lost. Like, I didn't get all of the references, obviously. But I didn't feel like I had no idea what was going on. I felt like some of the jokes, like, I was hearing for the first time, and I thought they were hilarious. So I think that was, like, a fun experience
for
me.
Yeah, you just died at the loose seal thing.
I thought that was so funny.
So good.
One of these days, you're going to have to sit down and just try the show out.
Do you guys wish you'd done anything? Like this game moved pretty fast. Is there anything, like, you look back on, you're like, I wish I'd done this with my character?
I wish I had made Michael even remotely interesting. I don't think I did a very good job with him.
It's so hard to play the straight man, right? Like, it's hard to be funny and have to be the straight man. I think you played the straight man brilliantly.
I was very impressed by Jeanette's amount of work she put into the game. The game itself. Just with those wild-ass senses.
Wizards. Who have magic stones.
Ugh. So funny.
That was really funny, yeah.
But yeah, I think... I don't know. Should we talk, like, how do we think we did with the series?
Okay. You go.
I think I mostly touched on this earlier. I think we did a pretty good for, like, maybe a series or a long episode. Maybe even a movie. Maybe not so much for, like, a season, as it were. But I think we did better than season 4, at least.
It's that bad, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, take what we did, like, write notes down, and then write a script based on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, use this as your jumping off point. Like, as a first draft, this wasn't bad.
Yeah. I mean, it could use some polish, a little bit more coherence, but apart from that, I think we did pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny.
I really thought we weren't going to get the, like, Rube Goldbergian, like, meticulously. Like, it's hard to do this in improv, right? Because the rest of development is meticulously planned. It is Rube Goldbergian scripting. And, like, we ended up doing a little bit. I particularly liked the connections that they made together with Franz. Buster is sitting in on the floor and filing his hooks, and there's a pile of hook metal filings on the floor. And then later, George Sr. tells Job to go get the filings, the files. And Job hears filings and goes and gathers these metal filings instead of files. Like, that was, I was so impressed that the three of them, like, surreptitiously worked together to make that, like, Rube Goldbergian joke work.
If I were to have watched what we did, I would have thought that it was great. I thought it was hilarious. I really enjoyed playing it with everyone, and I enjoyed all of the jokes that everyone brought and everyone's characteristics. So again, even though I haven't seen the newest seasons, I can't say if we did better, but I thought we did. I thought it was fun. I thought we did a good job.
So what did you think of Soap?
I think Soap is at first kind of hard to, get your head around, especially for most of our folks, just as like the quick pass that we took at it. But once we got it into our heads, what the structure was, like you are setting a scene and you're resolving a scene, and then the bidding system decide if it happens that way. It is a lot of fun.
It's kind of interesting that it's like at its competitive, kind of at its core.
Mm-hmm.
But that competition is what, like, has you work together to make a story. Like, the end goal is to make a story, even though it's competitive. If you're, like, a tactical RPG person, if you're, like, a D&D person, like, I could definitely see how you could be like, what am I could just do it. I just say what I do and it happens.
It took us some getting used to, but I think if we were to do a quote-unquote second episode of Arrested Development, it would go even better, seeing how well it ended.
I agree with Alex that it was, like, at first a little tough to wrap your head around. Before we started, Jeanette and I got together and really planned out our characters and everything. And Jeanette was awesome to work with, because she's just great and she put a lot of work into it. But also it was great because she really knew this show inside and out, which was helpful for me to prepare for it. But, you know, we talked about our characters' relationships and what our characters were doing independently and all of the details surrounding that. So that was a lot of fun to work with her before it got started. So that part was really fun for me. And then,
y'all's scenes really sang because of that.
Aw, thank you. But for the sentences were just, that's such an interesting, idea, I thought.
It was kind of hard, especially to come up with them like on the fly and then have to remember what it is we said.
I think part of it is this would be a lot more fun if we weren't doing a podcast.
Probably.
Yeah.
And if we weren't, this was on like a kind of a weird, it wasn't a live show, but it felt like it had like a live show timer on it. We couldn't like stop. Like there wasn't just a whole heck of a lot of editing done. We did take like a 15 minute break or something or so in the middle of it. And that got cut out, but otherwise.
Oh yeah. I don't think we mentioned that. We did this whole series in like one big sitting.
Yeah. In one afternoon.
And we did it in one. We just wrote off the day everybody met and we just knocked it out in like 4 hours.
It was a lot of work, but I thought it was, I mean, it was necessary for this one, of course, because of all of the different people with all of their schedules.
It's really conducive to comedy, soap is. It's a funny game.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. If you are listening to this and you have an actual play podcast and you're looking for like games to play, I don't know if I honestly don't know if I recommend this for your podcast, but if you want a fun party game to play, I might recommend Soap. I do want to say one more time, just keep in mind, this thing was written in the 80s, and there's some not okay stuff in, like, some of the text. Things that, like, they thought was a funny soap opera parody at one point, and that is not. It's not funny. It's just offensive. But it's not the whole darn thing, and if you can maybe look past that, it's a fun game mechanically.
Oh, well, it's also on Drive RPG right now for $1.
Yeah, that's where I got it.
Oh.
Yeah, drive-thru. It's drive-thru RPG, right?
Yeah.
THRU. But, yeah, I recommend it. It was a lot of fun.
Wingnut Games.
We asked the other people. We couldn't get them all here again for this. But we asked if anyone had anything they wanted to, like, anything they wanted us to talk about in this on their behalf. And Charlie, like, just now sent something in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right under the door.
Right. Just, like, slipped it under the door. I think I can see him. Yeah, he's in his car. He's driving away. Okay. No, I'm pantomiming. Do we want to read this? Does someone want to read this?
Charles Edward Cheese, a.k.a. Charlie, a.k.a. Tom Bombadil.
Nope, it's just Bombadil, like a Bob-omb from Mario.
Oh, it's just Bombadil. Okay, yeah. Just Bombadil. He said, I just wanted to comment on how this season pretty much ended with all of us on the same flight fleeing the country and how fitting that seemed. Also, Michael and George Sr. both scheming with the North Koreans was completely organic and unplanned.
It says like North Korean.
Oh, North Korean. Was completely organic and unplanned. As a final season showing as dysfunctional and contemptuous as they are toward each other, they still end up on the same path despite having wildly different intentions is great. Well done, y'all.
Well done, y'all.
Well
I mean,
done
you
yourself,
were there.
Charlie. You were there.
Yeah. Right, duh. Right. Like, well done us.
Doesn't want to pat himself on the back, I guess, but I don't understand that right? Notion because I do that
good
all the
job,
time.
Everybody, including me.
Including me. Pat, pat, pat. Yeah.
Oh, should I say the other thing he put?
I don't know if okay. We should.
He says,
okay.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I don't want to shame him.
No. Okay.
Wow, Charlie. Wow, I just read it, and
yeah,
Charlie,
wow.
Shaking my head at you.
Yeah. Well, now we can't. Now we have to read it, because we made it sound so much worse.
No. Let's just leave it like this. He'll know. He'll know. No one else will, but
right,
Charlie
so
will
let's
know.
Move on.
Jeez, okay. I guess I'm outvoted, Charlie. I tried. I was, like, just want to talk about Tobias. I was like, I'm not going to let this thing, that's one of the jokes I think really had to toss out was that he was gay, but he doesn't know it, and he, like, kept denying it, and everyone, like, made fun of him for being gay, and I thought that was stupid. And, it was kind of funny in 2003 or whatever, I guess, but I was also a shittier person then, so.
Well, I think the main joke was that he was just so oblivious
right.
to everything around
and
him.
And so I thought that we could keep that and like ditch the like weird homophobic stuff, and it just like just make him gay. He's gay. The end. But they didn't do that in the show. They were like, we're gonna keep telling this joke the same way we've been telling it. It's time for new jokes, TV show. Except don't ruin your characters.
Find the middle ground.
Find the middle ground. I mean, they could have. There was a lot of ground they could have done about, like, I felt like we did a good job of that. That we, a lot of our, like, we were like, what is funny about time passing and, like, people aging and, like, people not being the same person they were 10 years ago? And, like, we did that a little bit. That we had made them, that they had, their development had not been arrested for a little bit, but then suddenly it came back to a screeching halt. that they undid all the progress they made in the last 10 years.
That's what family will do to you.
Yeah. I don't know. Woof. That's the point they're making, not the point we're making. All right. Any other thoughts? I don't have anything else. Watch Arrested Development. You can even watch. It's not like 4 and 5 are just unmitigated garbage. There's a couple of funny jokes.
They have some funny jokes in there. And honestly,
the jokes are okay. The writing otherwise is not great.
Some of the jokes are not good. I think we summed up everything.
Are we ready for a live show? Are we ready?
Not at all.
No? Okay. Thought we did good, but okay.
Not enough people like us for a live show.
I mean, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying, could we pull it off?
With the right game and the right subject matter, maybe.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to throw any spoilers out there, but we've bounced around the idea of using Dread.
Yeah. I don't know. There aren't bad horror movies, though. I mean, there are.
All horror movies are bad. Well,
that's the problem, is what I'm saying. Is like, people who are watching those movies don't have movies they don't like.
That's true.
unless,
I think we both just made a few enemies.
I'm just saying it's unique in the genre in that, like, horror people like niche things that other people don't like.
Yeah.
Even bad horror movies, they watch them for fun, you know? So it's really hard to find a horror movie to retcon. But maybe we'll find one day.
One day. We'll figure it out.
Well, I don't know. Stephen King had a couple that we could do, like, I don't know, Maximum Overdrive or something, right? That one's pretty bad. We'll see. Maybe I'll cut all this. But anyway.
Maybe.
Anyway, we got some housekeeping to do here. I'll do the kitchen. And you two can fight over who does the bathroom.
What's the alternative?
Not the bathroom. I guess not everyone's bathroom is a nightmare like mine is.
Probably not.
Like, my bathroom's pretty clean.
I don't know what your bathroom looks like.
I tell you what, why don't we each clean our own individual kitchens?
Ugh, mine needs it. Anyway, this bit is over. For real, though, we actually have 2 announcements for our next series. Can I make these? Am I allowed to do this?
Do it.
Yeah,
go for it. So, guys, there are so many podcasts. You guys have seen that there's several too many podcasts.
I mean, there's at least two.
Oh, my God, Alex.
But, like, it's daunting sometimes, right? And sometimes I look at those podcasts and I'm like, man, is there just, like, one episode of this podcast that someone can tell me to listen to? And then I'll have listened to this podcast. Well, we're doing that. We're doing it. We actually haven't done it yet. We haven't recorded it. It's happening this week. We're going to do one episode remaking the early 90s Kevin Costner and
Whitney Houston.
Thank you. You heard me do it. I was about to say Diana Ross, and that's not correct because she was very old.
She was plotted for the original.
That's right. That's why I thought it was Steve McQueen. But anyway, Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston, The Bodyguard. And like, before we watched this movie, Alex was like, I've always heard this was good. And I was like, I thought so too, but I looked it up. And Alex, how do you feel about this movie after having watched it?
It was boy.
It was silly, certainly.
It was silly, yeah, and oddly upsetting.
Wait, you guys said it wasn't silly.
We've actually told you both things, and you should assume both things are true. But, oh my God, you have to, like, live chat us or whatever. But
okay.
It's a lot of fun to watch, but, like, I definitely get why it has, like, 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. And we're going to remake it using this cool game. I don't know how new it is, but it's a cool game I've heard about and I found called For the Queen, which you could play in an hour. So we're having the creator of that game on, Alex Roberts, and we're going to remake The Bodyguard in 1 hour using For the Queen.
Wow.
Wish us luck.
I think it's going to be fun. And then you can send it to your friends. This is the one episode you can listen to. And then after that, because it is one episode, we're also just, if you want to rehash for The Bodyguard, we're going to make it a Patreon thing. This is a one-time thing. We're not going to make rehashes a Patreon thing forever. But since this is just supposed to be one episode, we thought we'd make a rehash a Patreon reward. So if you'd like to hear that, please consider becoming a patron on Patreon. It is not required listening, though. You will not be lost if you don't hear it.
Nor liable.
Yeah. What?
It's just what? It's just a fun bonus.
And then after that, we have a second announcement. After that is our next, like, regular series, you know, our multi-episode remake of a movie.
Standard format.
I am the director for this one, and it is a remake of the 2015 movie, Adam Sandler movie, Pixels. And our guest, yeah, I know. Thank you. There's no audience here to be excited, so I needed that. Our guest for that will be Kyle Taylor from Nerdsmith. He is on a stream called Shenanigans. You can check him out there. You'll get to know Kyle a little better, though, in the episode. We'll talk more about him then. We're using a system called Save Game. It's a Fate Core variant by Rob Wieland. I hope I'm saying it right. I hope it's not like Wieland or something.
Wieland?
It could be Wieland. I haven't asked him.
Is it George?
Is it what? George?
George. Yeah, is it George?
No, it's not. It's not George. I'm pretty confident of that. Okay. Well, he's going to be like, no, it's George. That's
he got it in one.
That's the German. That's the German pronunciation. But that's all the news, right? Let's see. Yeah, The Bodyguard will come out on September 29th, and Pixels will be 2 weeks after that. And we'll start
the 13th
with a rookie camp for Pixels where we'll talk about Save Game and we'll kind of introduce, we'll easy in to doing Pixels. So,
oh, so gently.
So please join us for all of that. I would recommend watching The Bodyguard, by the way, before we get into it. Like,
it's just for fun.
It's definitely one of the most, like, watchable. Like, I've had one of the most fun times I've had watching. We've watched some real stinkers for this show. But
we
this
sure
one was.
Have.
But this one was, like, enjoyably bad in that kind of way. I had a lot of fun watching it.
Oh.
It was a lot of fun to watch it.
I'm sad I didn't get to watch it with you guys.
Yep. Whose fault's that, Chintzy?
Well, I'm...
Invite us over on Tuesday. We'll watch it with you.
Okay, deal.
I'm not... Bet. I can't...
As the kids say.
I can't
say.
Speak for
Is that
Alex,
what kids
but
say?
I can make time for you.
Don't you visit your Meemaw on Tuesdays, Ben?
I can make it work.
I don't want you to not be able to visit
your
mom. Anyway,
if I can't make it, I get my mom to do it.
This is personal information. We will get to it later.
I'm sorry.
But it makes me seem but it makes me seem cute.
That he visits his Meemaw every Tuesday.
It's actually
Tuesday.
My Mamaw, but
I see
you're
a pop-up on my... Oh, I'm sorry, Mamaw. I see a pop-up on my Google Calendar, and I'm
on
like,
calendar,
oh, there goes Ben
calendar.
To... Yeah, there he goes to see his mamaw.
She's doing great, so my mom could do it 1 week. It'd be all right.
Good.
This is so much personal information.
Anyway.
Fuck it, I'm leaving it in. They've skipped to the next episode by now.
Dude,
we told them
if you
want
to see Ben on Tuesday, go to his mamaw's house.
Yeah, Alex is going to show up at my mamaw's house. He's going to be like, I got confused. This was a lot of information, and I got
this
confused.
This is where we're watching The Bodyguard, right? With your
You'll be
mama?
Like, well, Ben's mama, I don't know your name, but do you want to watch The Bodyguard? And she'd be like, I love that movie.
But yeah, thanks for joining us with The Rehash. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks for The Bodyguard, and a couple of weeks after that for Pixels.
Everybody say bye.
Okay.
Bye, bye kisses. Bye kisses.